You're listening to The Doug Haldeman Show, Mortgage and Real Estate Talk. Here's your host, mortgage expert and consumer advocate, Doug Haldeman.
Welcome back to the show. I am rejoined by my co-host, my beautiful, luscious wife.
Oh my goodness.
Tammy.
Oh my gosh. You just made me sound like a grapefruit.
Luscious. I like that word.
Gosh. Well, what we're here today is to talk a little bit about credit score basics. So this can get a little confusing, and I am finding out that a lot of the younger people for sure are confused about what credit score can make up. So we wanted to take some time out and talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, because some people will think, as long as I pay my bills on time, mm-hmm. I should have the highest credit score you can get.
Right.
And why would that not be the case?
Right.
All right, so let's run through the different percentages as basics. And we're going to come mm-hmm. back in later shows, and we're going to take these things and really dive into details on them. But first thing, largest category, 35% of your credit score comes from your payment history.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is going to include all the types of accounts that you have,
right.
The payment information on if you've had any late payments,
mm-hmm.
okay, if you've had any public records or collection items,
mm-hmm.
so bankruptcies, judgments, even a $10 medical collection,
right?
That'll hit you very severely.
Right, right.
Any sort of details on late or missed payments,
right,
they're gonna fall into this category. So 35% of your score is the largest category.
And then 30% is based on outstanding debt. So you want to explain that a little bit?
Yeah. So outstanding debt, easiest way to describe this is we're going to talk about your credit card debt, especially, okay, revolving debt. So they're going to take your balances on your credit cards and divide it by the credit limit. And you want that ratio to be really low, because when you think just logically about this, what happens if you meet somebody who all their credit cards are maxed out? What's one of the next things that typically happens to them?
I don't know.
It's not good. I just tell
I
you
would
that.
Think not.
Train wreck up ahead. Okay.
Right.
So the credit score is really there to give you. I mean, the sole purpose of credit score is to measure the likelihood that somebody's going to default on a loan.
Okay.
That's the sole purpose of credit score. What's the likelihood they're going to default? So 30%, second largest category, measures their revolving credit and the usage of it. So if you have a lot of available credit, but you're not using it, that shows discipline.
Mm-hmm.
If you have available credit, but you're using all of it, okay, there's a good chance you're never going to be able to pay it down.
That you might be a higher risk then at that point.
Yeah. Now, here's an interesting thing about this is that you would think that zero debt on your credit cards would give you the best score, but it doesn't.
Right. I was just going to say that.
It's 10%. So a 10% balance compared to your credit limit is going to maximize your credit score.
That's pretty interesting how that game is played. But.
Yeah, and the other thing too is they'll take that percentage, the balance divided by the credit limit on each individual card, and then they take it as a whole for all of your revolving accounts.
Mm-hmm.
So that gives you a brief overview of that part of it.
Right. All right. So then we're talking about credit history, and this has to do with the length of your credit history, right? The durability of your accounts and all of that, how often you use them.
Right. So that's 15% of your credit score, and it's the length you've had these accounts open. So frequently on somebody's credit report, you'll see too many new accounts open.
So every store that they've gone to, they've said yes to those credit card offers.
Right. So when they're looking at the average length of time you've had your accounts open, that needs to be a long period of time. And every time you open a new one, it's going to lower that average.
Gotcha. Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
So when you open a new credit card, for instance, you're going to get not only an inquiry on your credit, but then it's a new account that's going to lower that average.
So
it hits you double
10% whammy. That I might be able to save in the in-store credit card can cost me.
It can cost you dearly.
Big time.
Absolutely. So that's 15% of your credit score. That's the third largest category.
Okay.
All right. Fourth largest category is the pursuit of new credit, so basically the number of new accounts or inquiries, okay, is 10% of your credit score.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it's pretty important. They're going to look over the last 2 years, and they have a kind of a measuring stick on what would be a typical amount of inquiries that somebody would have. And just one inquiry is not going to lower your score.
Right.
But the amount of inquiries you have over the expected amount is what's going to start to lower your score.
Right.
And that's
right.
Why there's not always an exact number for how much one inquiry is going to affect you.
Okay.
And if you're shopping for something, like take a mortgage, for instance, all the mortgage pulls you get within a 14-day period of time will count as one pull.
See, and that is not really explained out there, so that's good information.
Right, so mm-hmm. if you're shopping for mortgage, definitely good to know.
Yeah.
All right, mm-hmm. next,
the next
Tammy?
One is types of credit in use determines 10% of your score. So this is the number of different credits, the type of each credit that you have.
Yeah, so when they see finance company accounts, okay, when they see check cashing places or instant money, like any high interest rate loan, that means you're higher risk.
Right.
And they're going to penalize that for you.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, that's not a protected class.
Right.
Because, you know, it definitely is a good sign that when you see somebody being dumb with their money.com, okay, then, you know, that's their score should go down.
Right, right. So next, what we wanted to kind of go through is how good is your credit score and, you know, what are the magic numbers now to get a really good rate? So this is in the case that if you're going to buy or refinance your home, that's what these scores are about.
Right. And in case you just joined us, you're listening to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1. We're talking about credit scoring basics. So now let's, you know, we talked about the percentages of, mm-hmm. that make up your credit score.
Right.
Now let's talk about what are the actual scores that you need to get mm-hmm. the best rates.
Right.
Okay, so we're not talking about the percentages of people that have these scores. Okay, we're talking about the different categories on how we would view it as a lender.
Okay. Okay.
So first, on what we would call excellent credit, okay, would be a 740 plus on your credit score.
And what does this provide me if I have that score?
Okay, so reason I'm using 740 is on a conventional loan, so Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac loan, 740 is the watermark that anything below that starts to get hits to the credit score. I mean, I'm sorry, to your interest rate.
Okay.
So above that, you'll get the best interest rates. And there are some benefits of being even higher than like 760, for instance.
Okay.
So if you have private mortgage insurance.
Does someone pay my mortgage for me at
well,
that point?
If you have private mortgage insurance, even above 760 will get you an even better rate than 740.
That's nice.
But that's the best general category would be above 740.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Well, next, you would look at what we'd call a good credit score. Okay, so this is kind of the mid-range of 680 up to about 739. Okay, so if you're 680 to 739, that means that your credit's probably not perfect. You've had a late payment or you have some debt out there. Okay, you're going to get decent terms from your lender with this, but you're not going to get the absolute best rate on the market.
So this would be like an A minus on the grade scale on my report card?
More like a B.
A B?
Yeah, more like a B would be more typical on how I would report this.
Okay.
Okay, next would be what we'll call an average credit score, which I think is being really nice because it's really not an average score, but 620 to 679.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is kind of the minimum credit score to get you into, you know, to get decent terms.
Okay.
Very common for like an FHA buyer to be in those terms. So if somebody has like, say, a 660 credit score,
mm-hmm.
it's almost always going to be better to take an FHA loan over a conventional loan.
Okay, because the rate, you can negotiate that rate better?
Right. An mm-hmm. FHA loan doesn't hit you by credit score the way a conventional loan does.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So there's a crossover point where one becomes better than the other.
Okay.
Right.
And then let's go to the poor credit score. Yeah. So that's
dun, dun, dun.
a 580 to 619. And basically what this is going to do is enable you to get a loan, but only under the lender's terms, which means who knows how many hoops you have to jump through or how high you have to jump.
Well, so let me give you an example of this. So
okay.
If we get somebody that's a 580 to a 619, okay, this falls into a special category. It's definitely higher risk. The default rates on those loans is about five times the normal default rate on loans.
Mm-hmm.
So we can still do them at this point. But what we do on those is we have to get more documentation.
Right. Okay?
I want to see that there's not a housing payment shock for somebody.
Okay.
So whatever their current house payment is, whether it's rent, it can't go up more than 1.5 times what their current payment is.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So I'm going to have to look at things like that. I want to verify that they have good housing history.
Mm-hmm.
Did they make their rent payments on time?
Right.
So there's a few more hoops they are going to have to jump through on that.
Okay. And now this is the bad credit score.
All right. So bad credit score, mm-hmm. we're going to say 500 up to about 579. Okay. Would definitely be considered bad credit score. You're not going to qualify for a mortgage these days.
Oh, you're not at all?
No, you're not going to get a mortgage with a 500 to 579. In the old days, you would have gotten a subprime loan.
Okay.
These days, no. They're not going to be available.
Not going to do it.
But you're within range that you could get up to a score, most likely, where you
with
could get a mortgage.
Credit help. With right, some work. Repair.
Yeah, mm-hmm. with some work. Okay. Then there is a category below that.
That's called the miserable credit
score.
And that's just bad news because you're not going to get any financing at all for a while.
And it's going to take you a while to repair, too.
Exactly.
You don't get a score below 500 without working pretty hard to get it.
Right, right.
And, you know, and it happens to people. Life events happen.
Right.
And you know, I'm a testament to this, that you can recover from those situations and you know, you can improve and get back on track. But
right.
it's going to take some work on your part.
Well,
so
mm-hmm.
if you want to see, we, you know, Tammy, you created a beautiful infographic on this
mm-hmm.
that's on our website at smartwithyourmoney.com. So go to smartwithyourmoney.com, look for the credit score basics mm-hmm. that Tammy created, and let us know what you think. Let us know where you fit.
Yep.
And
we're also going to include on that some ideas on how to improve your credit score. So we'll just give you a little checklist of some things that you can do.
All right. Well, coming up, we are going to be talking about escrow accounts and why your escrow account may be short or have an overage in it. You'll listen to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.